she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my
good morning to you. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
What is up, dog?
JP, the Snuggle Monster.
What up, dog?
Hey. And me, Sybil. What is up, dog? Is that D-A-W-G, Tam Tam, the
no,
way you're saying
D-O-G-G.
It? Oh, two Gs.
Yes.
Getting fancy now. If you want to chime in on the show, 877-881-1053 is the phone number, or you can send us your Autoflex Leasing fan text. 43733 is the way to do that. And as always, the next time you're looking for a new or certified pre-owned car, call Autoflex. That's the best place you can possibly go in the Metroplex. And I'm speaking from experience. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234. Out of the area is always autoflex.com, where you can go online and register for a car if you'd like to, start the whole deal. You can set up test drives online at autoflex.com. You can learn about leasing, and you can also go to our Facebook page, where most of the stories we're going to do today are on Facebook, along with some cool videos if you like car kind of videos.
So if you wanted to cheat and get ahead of the show, because at 9:15 we're going to talk about what's the best infotainment system for you and your car, you could go to the Facebook page.
You can, and here's the other thing, and all of that story is on the Facebook page, as you know. But here's the thing, if you want to call or text in and tell us what you like or don't like about your infotainment system, we would really like to hear from you, because we've got some information that's, you know, it's good and bad. I'd like to hear what real people think about how to operate that system in your car.
I've got one, but I'll tell you about it at 9:15.
And then maybe we can get Jesse Hawley to tell us about his whenever they come in for their next show. Maybe he'll come in and,
yeah, sticky
tell
fingers.
Us. Because we were talking about BMWs. David was talking about his Lexus. I have my Acura. I have my Ford experience. Everybody's got their experience with their technology.
Mm-hmm. And there's more technology than ever now.
And how, I'm curious to know, how much do you really use all this stuff? Like, what are the main things you use, and what are the things that you've never messed with?
Oh, so, I've got a lot of those.
Right.
So that's coming up at 9:15. But first, this does have to do with the technology in your car. Can your car be hacked?
You know, a lot of cars can be. In fact, maybe more than anyone knew. Chrysler has been fined $105 million. As a result of not reacting well to 23 recalls that the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration said they should have reacted to faster. And part of this has to do with the ability of their cars being hacked. Jeep Cherokees, it's amazing to me. There's like a zillion, maybe a zillion and a half Jeep Cherokees
a lot.
That you can hack the entertainment system in. And so what that means is that someone with a laptop somewhere can take control of your vehicle while you're operating it.
That is worrisome.
It really is worrisome. And so I was talking to one of our customers yesterday who's gotten three cars from us, and he was aware of the recall but not aware of the fix. And so I asked him how he liked his Jeep Grand Cherokee. He said, I love it, but the recall. You know, he said, I've got another recall on the car, and this time it's because this infotainment system can be hacked. And I said, well, did you know you could go online and fix that? And he didn't. So they're really not reaching out fast enough to these people to cure the problem. If you have a Jeep Grand Cherokee and its number, its VIN number is on the list, and you can go to Fiat Chrysler's website, or you can go to the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration's website, and you can see whether your car is one of those cars that can be hacked. If it is, you can go to Fiat Chrysler's site, you can do a download into a thumb drive, and then upload that to your car and cure the problem. And he had no idea. So that's really a good fix. Now, what really got Chrysler in trouble, though, was the first big recall that they had recently was for the gas tanks placed behind the rear wheels on Jeep Wranglers and Jeep Cherokees, and they found out about that, and they told the government they were going to fix it by putting trailer hitches on those vehicles, and then they waited about a year before they had those trailer hitches available for people. And that's what really, really sort of got the government upset, was that it took a year to get that fix out there.
I wonder why it took that long.
Well, they had to make parts. That was part of it.
Okay.
But the other thing was, I'm not sure it was the highest priority at that time that they had. So as a result of that, the government is now going to place an independent watchdog inside Fiat Chrysler.
They're on parole.
Exactly, for 3 years. And here's the other thing. Fiat Chrysler has to pay this watchdog.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the watchdog works for the government, so that's interesting.
Mm.
But he's supposed to supervise them for the next 3 years, and they are going to become the pinnacle of efficiency when it comes to recalls. And that's what they say. They're going to become really, really the best recall manufacturer at handling recalls in the world. So we'll see what happens.
Is that probably a watchdog, like maybe a company that manages that stuff, not just one dog?
I don't know if it's going to be one dog or multiple dogs, but I'm going to guess that he's certainly going to be an engineer by trade, and he's going to have the ability to monitor and make changes or suggest changes where necessary. This whole thing started, you know, all of the recalls with the GM ignition switches, and then followed by the Honda airbag, the Takata airbag problems. And so the industry has just seen tons and tons of recalls, more this year than any year in history. Last time I looked, it was over 34 million vehicles that were being recalled.
I have an idea. I think that anybody that buys a car, new or used, there should be an online thing for the factory, and they could go in and put in their cell number and opt in to factory notification text messages.
Yeah.
Like for recalls or anything like that. And that way, they don't have to mail a letter. They can do a blast text out to everybody who has registered to have that vehicle.
That's a brilliant idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yes, of course it is. Think of good ones.
You know, the other thing is that people can go to the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration site, and you can input your VIN number and see if it's involved in any recalls at all.
Either way,
anyone can do that.
It does take our participation. So
right.
We've got to get out there and do it. So tell your friends to get online, you know.
Yeah.
You tell two friends, they tell two friends, and eventually everybody will know where to go get that information. But I think maybe if you got a new car, opting in with the factory right then, I definitely would want to know that kind of stuff. So,
well, you know, and I think a lot of this is a result of Mark Roskind taking over the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration. The previous administrator was named David Strickland, and I don't think he did the job that they wanted him to do. And I know that the Congress has certainly chimed in heavily and said that if the National Highway Traffic, I'm going to just say NHTSA, if NHTSA doesn't get their ducks in a row, that the Congress is going to go in and help them. And I don't think any agency wants that much oversight on a day-to-day basis. They want to be able to do the job. Well, Roskind has come in, and he swings a big stick. He's clobbered a couple of these manufacturers pretty good. And here's the thing, and he released a statement last week. The problem is not just the Chrysler infotainment system. The folks that make that system make it for a lot of other manufacturers, too. It's not just Chrysler. Those are third-party providers that provide radios and Bluetooth and that kind of thing, and they provide for a lot of different manufacturers. So it's not going to stop with Chrysler. There's going to be some other manufacturers that are going to have the same kind of issues.
And we don't know yet, right?
And we don't know yet. Chrysler's just under the magnifying glass at this time.
It could be your Chevy. It could be your Honda.
Yeah.
It depends on who that radio, the Bluetooth connect, whatever that piece was that kind of messes it all up. But
well, do they have anything to do with GM's OnStar?
Don't know yet.
Well, and that's the other thing. They've now discovered that
you can
hack OnStar again.
Whoops. They call it OnStar. I own you. There's more to come later on in the... You have to stay tuned.
Yeah.
Well, and with the OnStar, they're saying that they have the ability to start the car. They have the ability to... They can work the door locks, but that's all. They can find out where the car sits, which is sort of interesting. There are some people that might not want everyone to know where they are. So they can locate the car, they can start the car, and they can operate the door locks. Certainly, that kind of control is not the end of the world. The other thing is, GM came out late in the week this week and said, hey, listen, don't worry, we've already cured it with our main servers, and your OnStar is no longer hackable. I think that remains to be seen. They released that yesterday, so we'll see what happens in the next week, next following days.
I'm fascinated by this.
You are?
Yeah, I think it's because I'm watching that show Mr. Robot on USA Network, and it's about a hacker, but he does it for good, kind of like Dexter would kill for good.
He's one of the white hat.
Yeah.
That was sort of a judgment thing with Dexter. Yeah. I'm just saying.
he kills people that need killing.
Yeah.
He did, in fact.
Right.
Yes, but
some people need killing.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And on that note, let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah. Little
is good. We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your hosts, David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Snuggles, and me, Sybil, the bicycling expert. I was just talking about in the commercial break Thursday night. For some reason, I thought it'd be a great idea to drink beer, get on my bike, and try to Periscope live, and it didn't end well. But at least me falling off my bike was all caught on tape.
That's usually preceded by, hey, watch this.
It totally was. Yeah, and everybody on Periscope was like, Sybil, please be careful. And then they started doing hashtag RIP Sybil. It was like foreshadowing. It was perfect. So, yeah, if you want to see that video, it's on YouTube.
Oh, great.
I think I tweeted it, too, at Sybil1037. Go ahead, Dave.
Autoflex Leasing fan text from the last segment. The various manufacturers' forums online have 95% of recalls listed on their sites. Just an FYI, I use the Dodge forum all the time. I won't mention what he says after that because he's not real happy with his Dodge Nitro. Maybe that's why he uses those sites all the time.
That's right. Thank you, CB, for chiming in. If you want to chime in, 43733 is the Autoflex Leasing fan text. Or give us a shout, 877-881-1053. And you can also call Autoflex at?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234.
Out of the area.
Out of the area. I don't do good in sign language. No, hand signals don't work. No. And if you want to reach us online, autoflex.com is always a really good way to do that. You can set up a test drive online. You can actually get a black book appraisal on your vehicle at autoflex.com free from your friends at Autoflex.
Mm-hmm. That was kind of funny. You stopped kind of like a dog and just cocked your head like,
what was that? I don't know.
Well, nowadays every car comes with an infotainment system. In fact, we created that word because of cars and their entertainment systems with information.
We did, in fact. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what those infotainment systems are like and some of the things that people like or don't like. And there are plenty. There's more and more of them out there. And at best, they make it easier to do what you need to do when you drive. At worst, they can be very distracting. And the idea is certainly not to take your hands off the road. Some of them have done away with knobs completely, and they have these interactive, touch-sensitive controls that are called haptic controls, who are more haphazard than anything in some cases. They're not really effective. So reliability is another problem. I think a lot of people have had a lot of problems with their infotainment systems. The first one that comes to mind was the Ford MyTouch system that they had a lot of problems with. Some of the systems are less complicated, some more, and sometimes the more complicated or intricate the system, the more problems they have with it.
Most fixes are rebooting, just so you know.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Most of the time with my Ford, when it would go blank, sometimes I just had to just turn off the car.
Yeah, but that's not convenient if you're on the highway.
That's true.
No.
That's true.
Okay, so let's start with the BMW iDrive, and this is something we were talking to Jesse Holly about before we went on the air, and he talked about his iDrive. I've got the same kind of thing. I've got like a joystick kind of a mousey thing in my car.
Me too. It's
very difficult to use.
Yes.
It's impossible to use when you're driving without taking your eyes off the road.
You're exactly right.
Because it's moving a cursor around on a screen that's not in front of you. It's in the center console.
Right.
As the counterpoint, let me just say that they do tell us with Lexus, and probably it is similar with BMW, that joystick is for the initial settings. You get everything kind of set up in there, and then you're supposed to use the steering wheel controls for the rest of it. He told me that when I complained about how squirrely it was, because I was looking at a Lexus when I decided on my Acura, I didn't like that. He said, well, you're not going to be using that all the time. And I said, then it shouldn't even be there.
Yeah.
You know, but it is too squirrely.
So on the iDrive, the buttons are intuitive. everything responds quickly. The central display screen is large, and that's nice because the bigger the screen, the easier it is to see. And you can do most of the things from the steering wheel, which really is nice. Problems, they use symbols. They use hieroglyphics, basically, for some of the things, and it takes some in-depth exploration time to figure out what they are, and you can't really use that iDrive knob while you're driving.
I hate the iDrive knob. My husband has one in his car, and if I'm in the passenger seat, a lot of times, especially on a road trip, I'll sit Indian style or cross-legged or whatever you want to call it, and my knee will hit the button, and then we'll change the radio station, or I'll kick it into, like, GPS,
exactly.
And yeah.
There's a couple of manufacturers where they put that right where your hand goes.
Yeah.
And you touch it just because you put your hand down.
I am going to say this. I don't think they were designing any of that for sitting in a yoga position in the passenger seat, certainly not in the driver's seat. So I'm just going to say too bad on that one there, Sib.
Okay, moving right along. Let's talk about Chrysler Unconnect. No, I'm sorry, Uconnect.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Oh, yeah. Wah-wah. All right, so it's got a simple Logic touchscreen. That works good. It's got old-fashioned knobs and buttons. That works good. If you upgrade to the Uconnect 8.4, you get large fonts and you get a on-screen buttons, and they take simplicity to a different level, so that's good. But some of the fonts are too small if you get the basic Uconnect, and it only has 4 visible radio stations, and you can't see the rest of them unless you push another button. You also can't pick phone contacts up on the steering wheel controls, and it tends to be less reliable than earlier systems. And the other thing with the Uconnect, of course, is it's hackable. And so that's what they're working on right now. Ford MyTouch, and Tammy can talk a little bit about the MyTouch system because she had one. It is a comprehensive voice command, save the time of day and the audio and the climate and the phone tax. You can do a lot of stuff by phone on the new Ford MyTouch system.
By voice or phone?
By voice, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can control it to, I mean, you can use it to control the music coming from the Bluetooth, and that works out all right.
I wasn't successful with that, but I didn't practice enough. I just gave up and used the knobs. See, yeah. I just rather, because I know where the knob is. It's almost by feel. You could do it without looking away from the road.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think we're seeing is more manufacturers are doing away with the old knob system, and they're replacing with buttons, and the buttons are a little harder to use, and some of the manufacturers have eliminated the tuning knob completely. So you're having to touch a bar on either end,
yeah.
And it's really not as easy to use.
Yeah, that's true, because I have that, I think, in my car.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
They need the iPhone technology, because I've just discovered the voice texting and oh my gosh, that's the greatest thing ever. So
it
needs to be as understandable, or it needs to be able to understand you just like that.
Right.
So the other thing about the MyTouch system is sometimes it doesn't understand you, as we know. You may want to wait on 2016 because they have a new system coming out on the 16 Escape and the Lincoln MKC SUV due in showrooms this summer, which may cure that.
You know,
we'll know when we see it.
They need something where if a female is driving the car, it understands.
Really long directions.
Yes, and then when the man's driving the car, it should be a totally different experience.
Yeah.
All right, GM GM has IntelliLink, and Buick, Chevrolet, and GMC use that, and it's relatively easy to master, and all of the screen menus are clearly labeled. It pairs with the phone easily. You can do it using your voice, which is really nice. Audio, phone, and trip information can be interacted with by the steering wheel controls and viewed in the instrument cluster, which helps reduce distraction. The other side, Cadillac's Q system is probably a problem for General Motors because it's got those buttons, I've forgotten the name of them now, but you're supposed to touch them and they buzz when they're activated. You can feel it. It's a vibration thing. And they frequently don't respond, and they're hidden until you reach for them, so you can't see exactly where they are. If you're in motion, it's almost impossible to adjust the volume. And if you're thinking about getting a car because of the infotainment system, that's probably going to hurt the chances on you getting a Cadillac.
Interesting.
Yep.
Honestly, I think they're putting too much in there. Like, I have determined now I no longer need navigation in my car. You know why?
Right. Because it's on your phone.
The Waze app.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even like the navigation on my phone. But the Waze app, forget about it. Went to the base, left Richardson, 6:35 and 75 at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Was at the ballpark in 49 minutes.
That's impressive.
In heavy traffic.
Took wow. roads never heard of.
Yep.
Went it through the airport you. Property.
It Here's the thing.
Took us around all the traffic.
The highway was clogged up. It put us on the service road.
Okay.
Because it was quicker.
Yeah.
And we were waving, bye, suckers. And they were all stopped, and we're on the service road. But then it took us all through the country, and we saw places that aren't allowed to be around residential areas, you know.
Right.
Cement plants.
Yeah, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Battery manufacturers, things
so
like that.
We may have cancer now, but, you
but
know,
it was
we
worth
got to the
it.
Ballpark really fast.
Yeah. You skip traffic.
Well, and I think more and more people are going to realize that it's nice to have nav in your car. But the nav in your car, in most cases, doesn't update regularly. The nav in your phone updates all the time.
Right. Yeah.
Now, Tesla does updates on their maps all the time, but not that many people drive Tesla. So moving right along.
Okay.
Honda Link. Honda keeps it simple, and they've done the same thing with their Honda Link system. It's a non-touch screen that works, and it's got big buttons and large screen and displays relevant information. They've done away with the tuning knob on their high trim versions of the Civic, CRV, HRV, and Pilot. There isn't even a knob to adjust the volume. You've got touch buttons on those. The one thing that they do that I think is brilliant is on some of their models, when you turn your signal on to make a right-hand turn or change lanes, the rear view mirror shifts to the center console and your screen becomes your right side rear view mirror.
Oh, that's cool.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
So you can see everything.
And it works like a champ.
Lanes.
I like that.
How many times have you been changing lanes and then the car beside you is changing at the same time and all yep. of a sudden you're like, whoa, and you're both swerving back.
Right.
It would be nice to see these people that are coming up, because the other day there was somebody just, where did you come from?
Yeah.
I always look. So where, but I think they were behind a couple of cars behind me
mm-hmm.
and then just darted out at warp speed.
So
we almost had a little boo-boo.
The only thing I didn't like about the Honda system is that sometimes you had to go through like multiple screens to do something really simple. And I, you know, different menus. And I thought that was sort of silly.
Right.
You want the stuff you do every day just to be there for you so you can touch it and it works.
Yes.
The radio. But you said your car will read the text to you.
Yeah, my car reads the text to me.
Out loud.
I still have to look over at the screen, use the joystick, move it to the message, and click on it before it will read it. Well, then my eyes aren't on the road.
Yep.
So what's, and you can't do that from the steering wheel. So what's the point?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Honda Blue Link. Let's go through these. Honda Blue Link and Kia, they have the same standard features, and it works pretty well. The up-level system with navigation brings very simple controls and interface, and basic voice prompts on the on-screen buttons are intuitive, and the graphics are clear. The voice software is among the best. It actually understands you. Some of the fonts are too small for the radio, and the basic systems only have a small screen. You have to upgrade to get a bigger screen so you can actually see them. The Mazda system, pairing an iPhone, easiest maybe in the business. On-screen graphics are uncluttered. Fonts are large and clear. But it's not an easy system to learn. You have to work through it. You have to spend a lot of time. There's a lot of reaching and touching of the screen. And the simplest, and here's the other thing, you can't do anything while you're driving. It does not distract you
right.
because a lot of the stuff you want to do, it won't do while you're driving.
So what's the point?
Yeah, that's how Lexus is.
Maybe it is the point.
No, I mean, but then you can just do it on your phone when you're sitting still anyway.
Yeah, good point.
I don't need it. I need a radio. I need air conditioning.
I need Bluetooth, though. I talk on my phone a lot in my commute.
Okay,
yeah, yeah.
But that was one of the first things that we got was Bluetooth, and that was just enough.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Radio and Bluetooth.
Okay, Nissan Connect, very, very simple, easy to use. All of the normal stuff you would want to see is displayed on the screen all the time. It's not up to date. It's not the latest thing. Navigation point of interest menu doesn't work well. The in-touch system is slow, after you start the car, you can't change radio stations until the system reboots. That is a problem for me.
Yeah.
And it says it ponderously.
Ponderously reboots.
That. So that means boom buddy da boom.
And I've got one other problem, by the way, with the system that Lexus uses. If you have a Bluetooth device, if you have a telephone, when you start the car and you put the car in reverse, your backup camera comes on.
Yep.
And that's good. But then about a third of the screen is blocked out while it tells you, and it takes 10 seconds.
Yes.
To tell you that your Bluetooth device is paired with a car.
Yep.
And then that goes away and it tells you your telephone is paired with a car. And the whole time that's going on, you can't see behind you.
Yeah. And you can't change the radio station.
No.
You can't do anything.
And so here's the deal. I called the guy at Lexus and I said, hey, I want to be able to see my rearview camera when I back up. That's what it's for. He said, well, you're backing up too soon.
Right. I was going to say, that's exactly.
So never be in a hurry. Get in your car, wait 10 seconds for it to wake up, and then you can back up and go where you need to go.
I think they should just pair up.
Yeah.
And maybe a little green light flash at the upper right corner or something. It does no good to have a rearview camera if you can't see out of it.
Amen.
Well, with Mercedes, if you turn off the radio, the rearview camera is disabled.
Wow.
That's crazy.
So yeah. If you are backing up, you need to be listening to music or something.
You know, but most of the other systems are easy to use on the Mercedes. It's easy to choose which function you prefer to view and interact with it through the instrument cluster. On-screen fonts are clear. It's a good system. It's not a bad system. That's crazy, though, that the rearview shuts off when you turn off the radio.
Mm-hmm. All right, if you want to see that full list, find out if you're looking at a new car, how the infotainment system is ranked, go to autoflex.com, click on the Facebook page, and you can follow along with all the stories we talk about right here on the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Snuggles, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053. Autoflex Leasing fan text is 43733. And as always, you can and should call Autoflex for your next new ride. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, you can go to autoflex.com and do anything online that you can do on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
Careful.
Yes. Tammy, I know you wanted to talk about the experience in a service department.
Well, I think everybody's probably had this experience. We call it the upsell in the service department. But one of my clients recently took his vehicle in for the airbag recall.
Mm-hmm.
And they took the car back to do the new airbag thing. And they came back with a diagnostic they had run on the car, showing him that he had about a little over $3,000 worth of repairs and maintenance that he needed to do to the car.
Mm-hmm.
What all did that include?
Well, one of the main things, the most expensive part of that was to replace the front bushings on the car. And in this particular brand, I think that warranty was a 5-year, 100,000-mile warranty. The car's definitely well over 5 years old. And maybe they just assumed, because he took that sheet back to his technician, where he doesn't have it serviced at the service department now that it's out of warranty and all that stuff, because he can get it done a little cheaper.
Right.
And he took this to his tech, and he said, hey, they're telling me I need all this work done. And he said, well, let's just, look everything over. And he put it up on the rack. And first thing he showed him was, you don't need front bushings. They're fine.
Yeah.
Never even heard of front bushings.
Right. So, you're taking your car in for these recalls. Don't be surprised if they tell you need something done. And I'm not saying that some things don't need to be done. There were some other issues on this bill that, on this diagnostic that did need to be taken care of. But the service advisors are on commission, ladies and gentlemen. They're just like a sell. I think they make more money in a service department than they do selling the car up front.
Yeah, they do, in fact.
So just be aware. Maybe get a second opinion, just like you would if you're going to the doctor and they're telling you you have to have something major done. It's the same thing with the car. And you do want to maintain it and keep it, tip-top shape, because this is your transportation from point A to B to C to long road trips and so forth. But, boy, I was kind of disappointed, because this was a dealership I was surprised.
Yeah.
Did this. So.
Well, I think the thing is, everyone does need to know that those guys are on commission. And we've had instances where we have sold a pre-owned car to someone And they've taken it in to have some sort of maintenance done on it that it needed, oil changes or whatever. And they go, oh, this car has got so-and-so. Did you know they sold you a car with so-and-so? And I always do the same thing. I don't assume that they're not telling the truth. I say, you know what? Please bring the car back in and let's take a look at it. And the majority of the time, literally the majority, there's no problem there.
Right.
It's just that those guys are on commission and they're paid to sell. And if you have bought a car recently, you don't know the history on the car. Mm-hmm. So they sort of take advantage of that and tell you you need things that you might not need. So I think Tammy's advice is well, well taken. Take it to a trusted mechanic.
Well, what is, okay, so you have to have somebody pretty much then that you call on a regular basis. Because I don't go to the same place every time I need an oil change or every time I need a new tire.
Well, and so I've got a mechanic. Yeah, I've got a mechanic that I've used for years and years. I send my kids to him. I send my friends to him, and he's totally honest. I worked with this guy in 1978.
Oh boy!
Yeah, he was the used car manager for a Chevrolet dealership that I worked at the time. He owns his own shop now. He's a straight up guy. I can send him anything, and I know what he tells me is right, and whatever it is, you do because it's necessary.
And this same fellow has given me really good advice for other clients for. Like, he doesn't do German cars. He does mm-hmm. Asian and American cars. And so I asked him for a BMW technician for somebody who had actually texted in on the radio show. And he said, now, their shop is not fancy, you know, so don't be dissuaded by, you know, these mechanics. If you're not going to the dealership or the service department,
right,
you're going to a shop.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't, you know, necessarily think, well, just because it's all grungy, these guys work
right.
in oil and goo. So anyway, he said, don't be dissuaded by the looks of the shop, but they do good work. Sure enough, I sent that fellow over there who'd been having major problems and hadn't been able to get this car fixed. And they worked really hard on a fix, and it wasn't that expensive for him. So he was very grateful. You are in a brand new car, so you have factory warranty for those things that go out too soon. Right now, all you have to worry about are your brakes wearing out, doing oil changes, rotating the tires. That is one of the nice things about leasing
mm-hmm.
or keeping a newer car that's under warranty or getting an extended warranty to cover you for a period of time, because then there is less fear about those things needing to be done, and that warranty kind of keeps those people honest. Once you're outside that factory warranty where it's all on you, that's when our fear builds up, and that's why people don't always keep their car so long, because they don't want to worry about all that.
Well, and the other thing is, if you replace a part under warranty, the dealer that replaces the part has to save that part and then turn that part in for inspection. So they can't replace a part under warranty that is not necessarily needing to be replaced.
Ah.
It's pretty simple stuff.
And
they got to prove it.
Right. And mm-hmm. I had another client that called me. He wanted to get his mom a new car. The car was overheating and so on and so forth. And somebody at a little small shop had basically said, you know, it's shot. But then he took it to the dealership. And it was just a thermostat, a $200 fix, fixed her car, and it's driving just fine.
Nice.
You know, and that was better for them because she's not going to be driving for another 10 years, probably. So,
Autoflex Leasing Fantex, we've got great Fantexers. Front bushings are most likely referring to control arm bushings, and those are large pieces of rubber, sometimes sandwiched between two pieces of metal, that insulate the vehicle from road vibration. Or they insulate the parts from road vibration to keep the parts lasting longer, one or the other.
And that rubber can disintegrate over time,
right? It can, and it wears.
But apparently his, even though his car's older, they don't drive it that much.
Exactly.
And maybe it's just not dried out and cracked and worn. But he pulled it up on the lift and showed him.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, what is the deal with Autoflex Leasing working with people with damaged credit? We have a division called Autoflex 2. And Autoflex 2 specializes in helping people that's credit has been damaged. One of the easiest ways to find out how easy and how well it works is to give one of our offices a call and ask for Autoflex 2. You're going to find an expert there that'll be able to help you with buying a car, getting you into a great car. We'll have some choices for you, not limitations. And we'll have a number of different lenders that will actually look at your business. And they'll give us different interest rates. And we'll obviously get you the best interest rate we can.
Mm-hmm. Another Autoflex Leasing fan texter says, I've got a 2014 Dodge Ram truck, and is there a recall on safety bags? I thought I heard that.
Well, there is a number of recalls on a lot of vehicles for safety bags and for control arm bushings, tie rod ends, a lot of things. So go to the National Highway Traffic Administration's website, and I think it's drivesafecar.gov, or drivesafercar.gov. But anyway, NHTSA's, go to their website. You can put your VIN number in there, and it will tell you if there's any recall at all on your vehicle.
Got it.
I know Dodge had some other issues because they're doing a buyback, but I don't know which year model, so definitely check it out and see what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah!
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Snuggles, that's what we like to call JP. And now is the fun part of the show where we welcome in Mike Dingus and Sticky Fingers, Jesse Holly. Morning, gentlemen.
It's a weird nickname, Jesse.
Good morning.
I don't know why people call him that, but everybody, I mean, it's catching on. Like,
it has
nothing
to do with him catching footballs.
No, no.
And I don't steal.
No, it's not that either. Okay. It has to do with snots.
Yeah.
Snots,
nice.
And bugs.
I'm. You know what? I've been.
It's really gross, man.
I've been having like this issue lately about getting older, because like, I'm having gray hairs on my nose now.
No.
Sexy. This is a serious
older or odor.
Serious stuff.
Older.
Okay.
Like I got gray hairs in my nose now.
Oh no.
And it's really been bothering me lately. It's really been something that's really gotten me down.
Do you pluck them?
Grecian.
Oh, there you go.
Grecian.
Ooh. God, you talk about make your eyes water. You pluck one of them boogers out.
Yeah,
no. Hairs. Oh my God!
If you if you get a booger attached to the hair,
double whammy.
Oh.
My Tammy's goodness. Leaving.
Tammy's just leaving.
Y'all just grossed her out enough. She's leaving
out.
The studio.
That's torture. Like I've been dealing with this. Am I too young to go through a midlife crisis already?
How old are you?
31.
Ooh.
Yes, you're too young.
Yeah, I found these gray hairs in my nose, and I have like. There's like they're like you can't see it now because the way my hair is braided, but there's like a patch, like a small patch in the middle of my head of just grays that are just chilling by themselves.
It's really hard to realize this at 31, but only lucky people get old.
That's right.
Ah, okay.
Maybe
I'll take that. Yeah. I'll take that.
Let me tell you, he shut me down years ago. I was complaining about the wrinkles and blah blah blah. He goes, "Look, you're either getting older or you're not."
A great point.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about wrinkles when you're in the ground.
That's true.
You know? Right. All right, so. let me do a couple more things about leasing, because I think this is really, really interesting. They have discovered that millennials are some of the largest groups that lease cars. And that's crazy, because they're always talking about how millennials don't get cars the way that the older folks do, and they don't think cars are important. But what they have discovered is millennials don't have all the money in the world, and they can get more car for less money if they lease it.
Yeah.
So millennials that buy cars, they can afford about under a $20,000 car, not even over 20. But the ones that lease cars can afford a car that's around $35,000, and that for the same monthly payment, and that really spikes the numbers. So millennials not only get cars, but they lease their cars in greater numbers than any other individual age group.
But isn't that... I think we live in a day and time now, especially like here in the DFW area, where they call it the $30,000 millionaire.
Right.
Oh, is it down to 30 now?
Yeah, the $30,000 millionaire, where it's a lot of the young people, and I put myself in that group. I'm going back to that group now. I put myself in that group. What happens is that we try to get these cars to kind of live up to certain social expectations.
Exactly.
And we end up not being able to pay for them.
Right.
Even though we lease them, sometimes we end up not, because you want to have the apartment in uptown, and you want to have the BMW or the Lexus or the Audi or the whatever it may be, you know, because you want to be able to pull up to your Sunday brunch, your social gathering, or whatever it is, and your nice new luxury car. But a lot of times what happens is a lot of these young people can't afford these vehicles.
Right. They can if they lease them.
But if they
live with their parents.
Or if they live with their parents, exactly.
Autoflex lease. Oh yeah.
I was trying to get him to go there, but I
thank you, JP. Just
couldn't. Oh, it was coming. I had it ready.
Couldn't get it.
I've seen
he's
him.
Not good with. I heard him say he's not good with hand signals. I was like, or if they come to, and I was like, he just looked at me like, what? Yeah.
Well, there has been, I think there's a big shift because when I grew up, I wanted definitely to start out as a high roller, but I had to work my way up there. My parents didn't give me everything. Mm-hmm. I had to work for, well, that's not true. I did have a Ford Pinto station wagon. Thank you, Dad.
Yeah, but see, as I'm saying, the old generation, cars got passed down back then.
It was an old car. I mean, it was old when I got it. It wasn't new.
Right.
And so if your parents give you a brand new car when you're 16, how are you supposed to downgrade once you're paying for it to the 10-year-old Honda when you got a brand new Subaru or Audi for graduation?
Yeah.
It's really tough, and I think that's part of it is what all your – and maybe sometimes it's just you want to go ahead and keep up, and maybe your parents didn't give you everything, but it sure doesn't help whenever you're coming out of your family's fine home and car and you think that you shouldn't downsize.
Well, but the other thing is, too, I mean, these people are living on a budget, and they're staying within their budget if they are – arranging a payment that they can live with, pay their other bills, and put a little money aside. And that's what maybe a lease does for them, is gives them an affordable payment each month on a car that's not just a bare-bones car. You know, the only car that doesn't get leased in large numbers by millennials are compact cars. Everything else they lease, but not compact cars because they're under $20,000.
Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of leasing, someone else is getting in on the leasing game.
Yeah, this is. I'm going to do a really quick story on this, but it's really funny. Uber's now launched its own leasing unit, and here's the interesting thing: is they call it their leasing unit, but they don't actually own the lease cars. They arrange for leases with lenders for their wannabe drivers, for their new drivers. And in their public statement, they said they are trying to enable people that currently don't have cars to be Uber drivers. Now, I'm just saying, I'm not sure. If I've had too much to drink, if I want to get into a car with a guy that's never had a car before, he's going to drive me around.
But you don't know that, though, right? They don't tell you.
Of course not.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Well, after last night's news, I'm 1,000% sure I won't get in an Uber car.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Uber. I'm on the record as that. So.
Well, and I think the issue, and we talked about this for a moment off the air, is insurance. Because if you're driving an Uber car and you have normal insurance, and you have a fare with you, and you have an accident, your insurance doesn't have to pay you because they insure you for you to be in the car or your personal passengers. But if you have a fare in the car and you're being paid for that, that car then becomes a vehicle for livery, and it requires a commercial insurance policy. And you don't have one, you have a wreck, they're not going to pay you, which is a big thing.
Now, what's the difference between commercial insurance and, I guess, regular personal insurance?
It has much, much higher limits because they figure the car is going to be driven all the time for business, not just you going back and forth to work. And they carry people, which means those people could be injured, and then you've got liability there.
And it costs more.
Yeah.
That's my last question.
Yeah.
It gives you more coverage, but it also costs more. But if you're not paying for that coverage, you don't get that coverage.
Right. Autoflex Leasing fan text. I leased a 2015 2SS Camaro at Autoflex about a week ago. I could not be happier. Chad was awesome, and it was nice to meet David also.
Yeah, I met him in our lobby, and we really, really appreciate your business, and we'll look forward to seeing you when you need a car, because that was your wife's, I believe.
So he's probably, she got a Camaro?
Yeah.
Man, he's a good hubs.
We had another client that listens to the show that came in, and let me tell you, we can solve your car conundrum. His wife wanted a car. She was upside down, we use that term. She owed more than her trade-in was worth, and because of the bank advance and so forth, and they didn't want to put any cash down, we wound up trading both of their cars in because he had equity and she didn't. So we spread that out over two. So they both got two new cars.
It's a wonderful thing.
I love those stories.
I know.
All right, boys, what do you have coming up on the show?
It's a really, really happy, positive day, Sybil.
Yay!
We got a new pitcher for the Rangers. They won three in a row. It's one of those weird things where, although you probably won't win a World Series this year, you should really enjoy this moment as a Ranger fan.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, Sausage Fest is today.
That's
going to be a big day.
Oh, there you go.
Lots of fun for the fans all day.
Mm-hmm. So stay tuned for that. Mike Dingus and Sticky Fingers, Jesse Hawley, coming up next. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I'm Sybil Summers. Thank you to Snuggles. We'll see you next week at 9 a.m. Go to autoflex.com for more. And thank you for listening to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.